As we grew up in our homes, Mom and Dad had lots of warnings, lots of commands, and lots of advice. And most of us managed to ignore a part or a lot of that. And we got away with it. And for some, that started a lifetime of ignoring the commands, the advice, the wisdom, the warnings of our parents. And as I mentioned a moment ago, a lot of times with no consequences whatsoever. But they weren't wrong. But you know, that kind of continues on. Most of us ignore those signs when we go around the corner that say 30 miles an hour or 40 miles an hour. We do 50 or we do 55 because we know that they're a little bit lower. They're always a little higher than they need to be. Some people ignore speed limits entirely. Some ignore the doctor's advice. I'm sure most of us have had advice about what we eat, about what we exercise, about the medications we should take. And as I said a moment ago, some of us, most of us from time to time, we ignore them. And we reason that not everybody gets harmed by this. And sadly, it won't happen to me has become a proverb to many of us and most of the people in this world. They believe that they can rise above and work their way and navigate through these warnings, and they've always been able to do it because they're not dead yet. Those who died learned the hard way, but the rest of us just kept on going. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, God acknowledges this. He says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. So we're told in our youth that we should study hard, that we should exercise and develop ourselves, but not everybody who did that becomes successful. And many people who ignored that have gone far beyond because of time and chance. And these exceptions, they happen enough that most people can ignore sound wisdom. You remember the old story back in the 70s and 80s when tobacco was becoming more and more of an we were beginning to understand the connection between tobacco and cancer. And the people who were smoking were saying, well, I know someone that's 100 years old. And they smoked every day. Well, yeah, there's one person, but you better not base your life. Because, yeah, some will. Ignore all sound wisdom and still live to be 100. Now, again, this becomes a habit. But it's a dangerous habit because although we can even get away with it, a reckoning is coming. There is a vanity which occurs on earth that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. So some just men die young. Some just men have all kinds of problems in their lives and are wicked men who it happens according to the work of the righteous. Some wicked people live to be 100, never have a problem, wealth, prosperity, popularity. There's no tangible difference, God says, in the outcome of the physical life with the spiritual consequences. It's a paradox. It's flipped. In the spiritual realm, it shouldn't be like this, but we live in a sin-cursed world where the consequences of physical activity, moral activity, wise activity, foolish activity, you can't always tell what the outcome, you can't always tell the wisdom of the actions by the outcome. Because this is true. This is a vanity which occurs on earth. Now, it won't go on into eternity, and that's what this lesson is going to be about, is, you know, you can ignore many, many warnings, and you can get by in this life. But the moment you die, that's all done. Because this life will end, the curse, the sin-cursed world will end, and God's reign will begin. Another verse. All things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath, as he who fears an oath. That's a pretty broad spectrum. And everything happens to all of them. Some die young, some become wealthy, some are impoverished, some get physical ailments, some people are in terrible accidents, some people are blessed beyond measure, some people are cursed. Does it equate to whether you're good or clean or unclean or sacrifice or don't? No, it does not. And then he says in verse 3, this is an evil. In all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. This is, as the Holy Spirit reveals, an evil than all that is done under the sun. That there are no consequences to bad behavior. Or let me rephrase that. There are not always, and it happens so seldom sometimes, that people become crazy. They become mad. If you look at the way people are living, understanding they're one heartbeat away from standing before God, and yet that doesn't trouble them at all because they've always got away with it. They always think they will get away with it. We better not bring that into our service to God, because it won't work there. Now, there is a consequence to this madness. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped or stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no pangs in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than the heart could wish. Now, these are the wicked. And this righteous man is looking at this, and he's realizing something. God says that the righteous will receive the reward, but in life under the sun, that doesn't equate. You can do and ignore and get involved in all sorts of wicked activities and still come out like these people. We've got billions of people in this world today who are doing this. And it's like when we were children, when mom and dad said, no, you can't go there. And we said, well, everybody else is doing it. And did that ever fly? That never flew. Everybody else could be doing it. But our parents cared about us. And they knew, 99 times out of 100, but that one out of the 100, and we don't want you to be that one, so we're not going to let you do it. Well, he continues on. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Brethren, these are the people we work with. These are the people that we are trying to influence and convert. These are the people who make up America and most of the world. And we try to reason from the scriptures, but without faith, just looking at this world, it seems just like mom and dad again. Oh, this person is warning of this and warning of that, but I don't see any sign whatsoever that anything I'm doing is wrong, and therefore, just like these people, God doesn't care. If he cared, you remember the old preacher who was saying, "May God strike me dead with a lightning bolt if I'm not telling you the truth," and there's no lightning bolt. So that means he was telling the truth. No, but it doesn't. Because God is letting us make our choices. He's giving us. God is long-suffering, not willing for any to perish. Yes, he could strike everyone down at their lowest point. We could have been struck down at our lowest point. But God gives us time. And so, yes, these people will be able to scoff and speak wickedly without any consequences, because God loves them and God wants to give them time to wake up. But the righteous man he's struggling with this. "Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain." I hope none of us here have ever felt like this, but it's hard sometimes to look at people who have everything that a man could want. No problems, no difficulties, life just going on. Verse 14, "All day long I have been plagued." You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, the man addresses this. He says, God treats you as sons. Your chastening doesn't seem to be joyous but grievous, but afterward it yields peaceable fruit. And then he said, if you're not chastened, you're illegitimate children. So yes, all day long we're going to be plagued. If we preach the word to people, we're going to be plagued. If we stand to the truth. But if I had said I will speak thus, I would have been untrue to the generation of your people or your children. That would have been the biggest blunder I ever could have made, to make this statement that it doesn't matter. It's all one. God doesn't do anything. If I said I would speak thus, verse 16, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. I couldn't even break it down. This was an agonizing situation because there's madness under the sun because of what he said in Ecclesiastes. All warnings are not necessarily needed for life under the sun. We know that because most of us at some time or another have ignored those warnings. No consequences whatsoever. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Yes, God gives people 70 years, 80 years, 90, 100, maybe even 110 years to decide their loyalty. To decide, make the choice of whether they want to spend eternity with God and accept by faith and listen to God and do God's commandments, or just go right on until the end of their life enjoying life. And praise be to God that he gives us and all of these people that we love. Some of these are our parents. Some of these are our family members, our co-workers, our friends, our neighbors. Yes, we're happy that they get into their 80s and into their 90s because we keep hoping. And isn't it a wonderful blessing that God has given to each of us that these people have time for us to continue to work with them and to continue to try to help them? Verse 21, when this man realized how close he was to making some ridiculous statements, his heart was grieved and he was vexed. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. All right, so let's kind of summarize where we've gone and what we've dealt with up to this point. Life under the sun is not like it will be in heaven. Jude says when angels sinned, they were immediately cast down to chains of darkness. All warnings in heaven come with immediate, consistent punishment and consequences. Not here. Because as I say, God has to give us enough time. God could have struck the Apostle Paul when he was persecuting the church. Could have killed him dead. He deserved it. But God wanted to save his soul. And like I said, most of us here can appreciate that now. We can appreciate the fact that God was so kind and gentle in this world to let people who don't deserve a moment of it to enjoy all of his blessings in hopes that they might turn to him. But at some point, we need to return to sanity. To the wicked, God says, "What right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you, when you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil. You give your mouth to, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done. And I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes." All of these warnings that God has given, no, they will not necessarily create any problems at all if you ignore them your life. But the moment you die, God takes full control. And at that moment, whatever he said is sterling. And all of the things, the inconsistencies of this world will pass away forever, and God will be all in all, and everyone will do exactly what he says. And so these are some interesting thoughts. And it's exactly what's going on. These people are declaring God's statutes and then mocking them or setting them aside. What right do you have to do that? You hate instruction. You cast my words behind you. You see the wealthy thief, and you shake his hand. You partake with adulterers. Give your mouth to evil. But I really think verse 21 is key. These things you have done, and I kept silent. Silence is not golden with God. You thought that I was altogether like you. You thought that you could get away with ignoring my commands like you did Mom and Dad. But you'll find out. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you. And I will set them in order before your eyes. We must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ in order to receive the things that are done in the body, whether good or evil. At that moment, all of God's warnings are going to be absolute. And if we didn't listen, we'll pay. If it did all end at death, then it wouldn't make any difference. That's what Paul says. If the dead do not rise, let us eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow, or let us eat and drink for tomorrow we die. Let's be like the rest of the world. Let's enjoy life. Let's sin. Let's do whatever we want to do. If it feels good, let's do it. And if the dead do not rise, but the dead do rise, already have. Jesus is already raised. Jesus raised Lazarus. Elijah raised the widow's son. Resurrections are not too hard for God. And at the moment of resurrection, the times of ignorance God overlooked. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And brethren, that is not an idle warning. That's not a warning like Mom and Dad gave. That's not the sign that goes around the curve that you can ignore without any problem whatsoever. You can't ignore this one. If you ignore this one, you will regret it throughout all eternity. These times of ignorance God overlooked. So yes, what happens to the wicked happens to the righteous under the sun on this earth, but not after. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. We know who that is. That's Jesus Christ. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. God already raised one person from the dead. He can do it. He's proven he can do it. And he will do it again. Not just to Jesus, not just to the saints, to everyone. And all of those people who ignored. You remember Enoch's prophecy that God will give rebukes to all the ungodly for all the ungodly things that they have done and all the harsh things that they've said about him. So, regardless of the outcomes here, yeah, you can get away with it. You can commit adultery, never be caught. You can commit fornication. No one knows, no one cares. You can steal, you can lie, you can cheat. You can still live your life. But don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Now, doctors are mocked, scorned, ignored, with no consequences in this life. Can't do that with God. God is not going to be mocked. Whatever a man sows, not in this life, but in the life to come, you will reap what you sow. And that is an absolute truth. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. So we're in a unique situation, brethren, because every week you get to hear God's warnings. And many of us treat God's warnings just like we treated mom and dad and the doctor and the police officer and all the other people, these do-gooders who are always telling me what to do, and I never, ever have any problems. I don't have to listen to them. And so you come here, and you read God's warnings, and you shrug your shoulders and say, well, I'm only 20, I'm only 30, I'm only 50. I'm only 70, I'm only 80. Well, you're getting closer when you start saying, I'm only 70, I'm only 80. But God is not mocked. If you sow to your flesh, if you do not listen to his warnings, you will be corrupted. You will reap corruption here and damnation in the life to come. You can't do that with God. And there are no exceptions with God. Now, Solomon is an interesting character. He knew this verse. Either he or his father wrote it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, that's pretty basic. When God gives a warning, I trust it with all my heart, and I incorporate it in my life. That's the philosophy of a Christian. That's what a Christian does. And if you don't, you won't see heaven. Talked about this Wednesday night. When everybody else is being raised and their bodies are transformed into the God's glory or Jesus' glorious body, and we're standing there looking at that on the wrong side because we didn't listen to the warnings. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not treat God like mom and dad. Do not treat God like the doctor. Do not treat God like those signs that say, when you go around this curve, you need to do 40 miles an hour. When you know good and well, you can go 50 or 55 without any problems whatsoever. Can't treat God like that. Now, Solomon knew better. God had given a command that he ignored. I'm not going to read it all because it would take too long. But when you set a king over you, verse 17, he shall not multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. The reason the rest of that's in there, because I like verse 18, he shall write for himself a copy of this law. So one of the first things a king did when he became a king, if he was listening to God, is he took the law of Moses and he wrote it all out for his own book. Because you couldn't buy books back then and they were too expensive, so you write your own. Verse 19, it shall be with him. He shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law. Now, Solomon knew that. Solomon knew, verse 17, he shall not multiply wives for himself. Those of you who know Solomon know he completely ignored that command. He read it. I mean, if he did the rest, if he wrote his own book, and if he read it all the days of his life, if he learned to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law, you know, that's a pretty good description of how we should do it. It wouldn't be a bad idea for you to sit down and write out the entire New Testament in your own handwriting. And then read it all the days of your life. Learn to fear the Lord and be careful to observe all the words of this law. That's why we have a Bible reading program in the back there. We're kind of fortunate. We don't have to write our own Bible. It's already with us. All we have to do is read it. All we have to do is take home a piece of paper and then get up in the morning and read Genesis chapters 1 through 4, the next day chapters 5 through 8, the next day chapters 9 through 12, continuing through, and in the end of the year, you've done what God said. You've read it all the days of your life, and hopefully, fearing the Lord and being careful. Well, Solomon ignored that. King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Now, Solomon didn't just politically marry these women to cement treaties with other kings. He clung to them in love. He loved them. Now, you want to talk about multiplying wives? 700 wives. I'd have to multiply that 700 times. Solomon did that. He multiplied wives. And his wives turned away his heart. He didn't think it would happen. Obviously, he didn't think. Here's the wisest guy that ever lived, with inspiration, who saw God come down into the temple and fill it with light and greatness. And you know, the next thing you know, when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord. Now, if you told Solomon when he was 30 or 40 and he had just gotten all that wisdom, you know, Solomon, before you die, you're going to be worshiping idols. And, let's read the next verse, building their temples. Solomon built a high place for Chemosh. Here's the temple he built right next door. Here's the high place for Chemosh. And over here is the god, the temple for Moloch. You know how you worship Moloch? You took your babies and you put them on the hands and you put a fire and you rolled your baby down inside of that mouth. And what did Solomon do? He built a temple to that god. Verse 8, he did likewise for all his foreign wives. Compromise? I don't think compromise is the right word. Traitor? Getting closer. Rebellious? Wicked? Ungodly? It started when he ignored God's command. Brethren, we cannot pull this off. Each one of us has temptations and trials. We have difficulties that we're working through. Some of us is entertainment. We're compromising on our entertainment. Some of us are compromising on the food we eat or the drinks that we have or the people we associate with, or we could just go on and on, whatever it is. But don't forget about Solomon. He had more than we could ever have. As I say, he prayed for wisdom and God gave him more wisdom. He said, there'll never be anybody like you. There wasn't anybody like you before. Won't be anyone like you after. Wisest guy. He couldn't avoid the consequence. Now, did he keep his wealth through his entire life? Yeah. God didn't take away the 10 tribes from him, took it from his son. From a physical perspective, he got through this life just fine. What a terrible, terrible outcome. I don't know what happened to Solomon. Some people say he repented and wrote Ecclesiastes. I'm really not convinced that's what happened. There's not a single sign in 1 Kings that he did anything. Matter of fact, when he found out God had given 10 tribes to Jeroboam, he tried to kill him. That's not exactly repentance, is it? Not exactly a sign of true repentance. So he ignored probably right up until the end. I don't know. I hope not. But the full extent of his wicked, the Lord became angry with Solomon. Because his heart had turned away from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he didn't keep what the Lord had commanded. But you know, it wasn't overnight. It was a slow erosion from those women that he clung to in love. Compromise here, compromise there, a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further, worshiping an idol, worshiping him secretly, worshiping him openly, building a temple for him. Then the Lord became angry. Because he'd appeared to him twice. It wasn't like us. We've never talked to God. So it would be a little bit different if we just decided one day, I don't know if God exists or not. But if he'd appeared to you and talked to you and come down in a cloud, and you'd have a whole different situation. This was a tragic story. If Solomon, with all his wisdom, inspiration, devotion, faith, conviction, could not avoid the fate God had warned would surely happen, then we can't either. So what about you? Do you think the scripture speaks in vain? You think it's no purpose? Oh, that applies to everyone else, but not me. I'm smart enough that that'll never get me. Think you're smarter than Solomon? Think you can do what Solomon couldn't do? You think that you can ignore this little commandment here without it growing to become full rebellion? And that's the line. That's the line we dare not cross. If you read a warning in Scripture and you think it won't happen to you, that you're strong or wise enough to dance around this and come out in heaven, it's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to mock God. If God says this is going to happen and you say, well, I don't know if I'm going to believe that or not, well, you're mocking God. And if you mock God, you will reap. And so we cannot afford to be deceived. You get one chance and then it's over. When a passage or sermon points out and you ignore it, you will reap what you sow. You can't do it. You can do it with your mom and dad. You can do it in the car. You can do it with your doctor. You can do it with your boss. You can do it in every other realm, but you can't do it with God. We better learn that. So these are commands that no one can ignore. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, you could ignore that, but you will die in your sins. Well, I don't feel like I think the Lord loves me. He's made me a millionaire, and I'm so healthy, and I've got these wonderful children and all these successes. How can you tell me God doesn't love me? Because you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. Well, I'm not that bad. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You can't ignore that command. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you don't, you can't ignore this warning. You can't ignore this command. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized will be saved. Or repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You can't ignore that command. Many are. Many think God loves them. They haven't repented. They're teaching that the things God says are sins are not sins, that Paul was mistaken, that we can ignore the things Paul wrote But you can't. And then lastly, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Don't let a night go by where you don't do that. Don't let a day go by. If you've sinned, confess it. Because if you don't, you can't ignore that warning. And so, brethren, as we finish the lesson, I hope that this lesson will give us some food for thought. We have ignored a lot of warnings along the way. We've ignored, like I say, our parents, our doctor, the laws on the road. We ignore them. There's no cop behind us. We got away with it. But we didn't. And we won't. And so as we sing the song of encouragement this morning, I'd like for each one of us to give careful thought to the things you're ignoring that God has said. Many people are ignoring many of the things God has said. Let's not have that here. We see it in the denominations. We see it in the world. Shouldn't see it in the Lord's church. As we sing the song of encouragement this morning, if we can help you to no longer ignore those commands we've put up there, or to confess your sins and be ready for eternity, we invite you to come right now while we together stand and sing.